And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out, and indeed the South West Pride season.
Hello, why have you got the mic? There you go.
He's the hunk that is Andy Shilton. I'm Steffi Barnett, and today we're delving into the events around Bristol Pride, kicking off with Queer Vision.
Steve Jenkins will be here to fill us in on all of this year's Queer Film Festival.
And the main event itself, Bristol Pride.
Yeah, so we'll be broadcasting live all day, but Darren is here on the show to tell us what and who.
All today, right here, Shout Out.
I'm so sorry, I had your microphone down at the beginning there, didn't I?
I thought you were doing it on purpose.
Would I?
Getting your own back on the dinosaur porn from last week.
We're not going there. We are so not going there. I've had so many comments come through about that from last week.
Most people wanted more information.
Well, and also how surprised I was. But speaking of the devil, hello.
Hi, good evening.
So how has your week been? Full of dinosaurs?
Well, I'm wearing my dinosaur socks.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, especially for you, Andy. Yeah. And I'm aware of what to not talk about.
So, hello, Andy.
Hello.
In fact, there's lots here. Darren's in the back of the studio, as is Terry. Hello, guys.
Hi.
And Steve, hello.
Hello.
It's nice to have you back on. We haven't had you on in a while, have we?
It has been a while.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about Queer Film Festival. I love the Queer Film Festival. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Love being involved in it.
Let's go straight into it. Give the listeners a bit of an idea. What is the Queer Film Festival for those that are not aware?
Well, it runs in the 2 weeks running up to Pride Day, or the 2 weeks of Pride events. Mostly our screenings are all at the Watershed, and it's just bringing films and short films from all different festivals and bringing them to the audience here in Bristol. And it's great because there's such a variety that we get to put on. And
there's been some brilliant films over the years.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
my big favourite, I don't know if any of you've ever been to them, I love the short film festival.
Yeah.
You know, where they put lots of little shorts on, and I remember ones like the zebra that banged into the tree and all the stripes fell off it and things like that.
Was it a gay zebra?
Yeah, well, that was kind of the whole implication of it. It was that it didn't matter that the zebra was different. So it was the whole reference.
The trouble with that one is now that whenever we get an animation come in, it's always like, yeah, but it's
not
as good as a zebra. So, you know.
is there going to be films every night of that fortnight?
It's not every night. We've got we have 3 screenings of short films, and we've got 1 feature this year. So they're spread out. First one is on Tuesday, the 2nd of July. And
so not long away then, that's next week.
Coming up next week. And this is one of my favourites, actually, because it's the Best of British screening. One that we kind of curate ourselves by calling for submissions. So we put our own call out so anyone can submit if the film has something to do with Britain or if the director is from Britain. So,
right. Is this the one that is to do with the Iris Prize?
That's right, yes. So because we're partners with Iris Prize, which is the festival in Cardiff, it's a big international LGBT BAFTAs, isn't it? And it's big prizes from their awards. So it's a great festival to be connected with. And so we do an audience vote, and we vote ourselves as a panel from Queer Vision and choose a winner from the selection of short films that we screen for Best of British that have been submitted to us, and the winning entry gets automatically submitted into the Best of British category at Iris, which is in October, and they get the chance then to win a big prize. It's sound post-production services from Pinewood Studios, and that's valued at £20,000.
It's quite famous, Pinewood Studios, isn't it?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a great award.
And just to put no pressure out there, didn't the people that you picked last year go on to actually win?
That's what I was going to say. So last year, one of our And it really was our favourite film. We loved it from the first time that we saw it. It was called Beyond, There's Always a Black Issue, Dear. And it was Claire Laurie's first ever film that she'd made. And she submitted it to us. We put it forward to Iris, and it won the category at Iris. So, yeah, really pleased with that. So there's a lot to be won from submitting to Queer Vision.
Neat.
Steve, what makes the showing of films interesting is that you always have a presentation after with somebody to do with the making of the movie, and also questions and answers thrown around. Is that going to be happening this year as well?
Yep, there's normally a bit of time afterwards, because what we do is we have a printed voting slip that everyone in the audience gets handed as they go in. There's a tear-off slip at the top that they can tear out their favourite film. They all go into a tin, and we get the winner. So there's that bit of time afterwards that we normally interview a couple of people, a couple of directors who have come along, find out a little bit more about the films, and then we announce the winner.
Oh, sounds very interesting.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, it's a great screen. And again, this year, we've got some really fantastic films that have been submitted. We had 40 films submitted, and that was just under 9 hours worth of film. So we had to select from that.
Just as well you like the TV, though, really, isn't it, mate?
So we've got 8 films that we've selected, and there's a really good mix there. There's some comedy, there's some animation, there's documentary, there's drama. There's also one particular film that we've selected this year that possibly before we wouldn't have selected a film like that. I'll leave it a bit secretive about what I mean here, but it's a particularly hard-hitting film, and we don't normally have films like that within our film festival, but we thought this year it was quite important to include.
So it's thought-provoking.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you say mostly at the Watershed, so are you doing short films at the Cube again? Or?
Not this year, not within the Pride season films, but we do sometimes put on films at the Cube. We've got particularly when Kiki, I think, putting on some of their screenings. They go out to different places within the city.
Neat. Well, it's kind of nice that Pride does have this habit of taking over half of Bristol with the number of events that go up. And if anyone follows them on Facebook, you'll notice I think someone must sit there constantly typing out the next event for like several weeks of the run up to it. Because it's a very long list this year, isn't it? So
it is.
But cool. It's really good. I'm really looking forward to it too. Yeah. I went quiet because I was busy reading through some of them. But there's quite a few nights where there are short films, aren't there?
Yes,
too?
We've also got, we put a screen on that is the Best of Iris, so the Cardiff Film Festival, we pick from their last festival and choose our favourites from that. It's a bit difficult this year because a lot that have been submitted to us and we'd already screened last year went into Iris as well, so we obviously weren't going to show those again, but the rest.
It's always nice to have new, isn't it?
And
is it Flair I saw you've teamed up with?
And Best of Flair as well, that's on Thursday the 11th of July at 6 p.m. at the Watershed, and of course BFI Flair, they are a really huge international film festival in London.
Really?
So, again, great great selection of films to choose from there. And we also have the one feature, which is Tell It to the Bees, I think a lot of people have seen the trailer, and we've secured a special advance preview of that, so it's not gone out on national release yet. So it'd be a great chance to see that before everyone else does.
Are you doing a premiere of that one?
It's not premiere, but...
And a red carpet.
Not quite.
Do you fancy a date, Andy? We could go on the red carpet out to the
I'd go on a date with Steve, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. Such a slut.
Sorry, you did walk into that one. Cool, look, it's really good. So if people want to find out more about it, I presume tickets are on sale already?
Yes, have we got they websites are, definitely.
Have we got websites and stuff, or is it go
well,
visit?
You can go to the Bristol Pride website, which is bristolpride.co.uk/queervision to get straight to our page. And tickets are available through the Watershed website, so you can also go to Watershed and search for Queer Vision there.
Brilliant, cool. I know the Pride Festival guide's out. I presume it's probably in electronic format as well for people to look at if you can't get hold of a paper copy.
Yes, it's on issue.
It'll be on issue.
Yes,
which is always quite cool. So you can go in and have a peruse and read of all the films too, which is always fun.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Steve. It's been lovely to catch up
with you.
My
pleasure. Great to be on again.
It's great to see that Pride season's really hitting. I think first event tomorrow. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, come around quick. So cool, mothers. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out podcast.
Sophie Ellis Bester, Take Me Home. I wonder why I'm playing that.
I wonder.
It is going to be like going back to the last 10 years of doing Pride. It's going to be really cool.
How long have we been doing Pride?
Well, I thought it was 6 years. Me and Darren were talking earlier, and we think this is our 8th broadcast.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And the biggest one.
Well, they every year it seems to double in size. I'm sure Darren will tell you about later on. Yeah. But we remember when we looked out and went, wow, there's 1,000 people. And now you look out and you go, wow, there's 50,000 people. Yeah. It's just kind of a bit like that. Yeah. So, but moving up to the Downs this year, which is going to be fun. And Darren is here. We'll be talking to him in a little bit. But first, we've got to put hands on the spot and get some news headlines. So no mention of dinosaurs, please.
All right. I'll try.
Today, a Tyrannosaurus Rex walked into a shop and...
and with that...
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 27th of June.
And a bit of media news. LGBT Anglicans and other diversity-friendly Christians have given a cautious welcome to the expansion of services from Bournemouth's Hope FM, a faith-based radio station. Hope has been broadcasting to the Bournemouth area on 90.9 FM for several years, but has now expanded to serve the whole Wessex region on digital DAB radio. And tests started in Bristol last Friday of continuous faith-based rock music. The station also promises debates, discussions and entertainment programmes from a religious perspective. Now, LGBT people of faith have been quite critical of the national Christian radio network called Premier, which operates two stations on DAB. They find it conservative and sometimes positively hostile to their existence. Hope FM seems to take a much more moderate and middle-of-the-road track, and most of its output is faith-based orientated rock music, and talk is about building good work in the locality through charities and community groups.
Sheridan Smith, the celebrated actor and star of many top dramas, has told journalists of her battle with mental health issues. Miss Smith's father sadly passed on in 2016, throwing the actor into a spiral of anxiety and depression, during which she had to withdraw from public life. Media website Digital Spy says that a throwaway joke made by gay radio and TV presenter Graham Norton that referenced her use of alcohol tipped her over the edge. Mr. Norton has not responded to the interview to date.
The popular liberal daily, The Guardian, is marking the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising, which is actually tonight on its daily podcast. The respected newspaper says, on the evening of the 27th of June 1969, gay men, many of them leather guys, and their trans and lesbian peers gathered, as usual, at a bar called the Stonewall Inn. What followed would change the course of LGBT rights in the US and in the wider world. A police raid on the bar in the early hours of the following day descended into violence as supporters came out onto the streets and stayed there defiantly. The Guardian's Ed Pilkington has tracked down some of those who took part in the rebellion and joins Anushka Anastasia to discuss what happened and talk about the growing recognition of LGBT rights in the decades that followed.
So, what is there to do on a Tuesday evening if you're stuck at home? It's a no-one's day, still too far from the weekend to really enjoy. Our media watchers suggest that there is a classic campery at around 11 o'clock on the Yesterday TV station in the shape of the two Ronnies from the 70s, which featured the comic characterisations of the late Ronnie Corbett, who, believe it or not, started his career as a stand-up comic at drag review bars in London. But if you don't fancy that, then there is a great new programme for the many LGBT people into the wide genre of metal and punk music. Ruby Fury takes to the airwaves at the national trans people's radio station Trans Radio UK with a wide variety of metal, including speed, thrash and doom metal, and the many varieties of goth and punk music as well. If you like the kind of music they play on stations like Kerrang Radio or some of the punky stations online, then you will love Ruby's show. But Ruby is also a trans woman and presents with a flair and style all of her own. Trans Radio UK is the only all transgender and non-binary radio station in the UK. It broadcasts online 24 hours a day and has a wide range of programming, proving that there is much more to the community than the common misconception that LGBT people only like popular dance music. If you have a desire to present your music, then the station also wants to hear from you. The station should not be confused with Trans World Radio, a Christian conservative radio station that beams across Europe on satellite and AM platforms.
And finally, politics. LGBT Labour, the pro-equality network within the Labour Party, has had a fresh new look. Their website is now newly spruced up, dynamic and mobile-friendly, reflecting the fact that these days many people access the net on the go. The new site includes a shop where you can purchase resources to show your support of the Labour movement and, in particular, on LGBT equality. Of particular relevance at the moment are model motions for local constituency parties to pledge support and solidarity with LGBT teachers and the teaching unions in the wake of anti-equality protests by some religious parents in some Midlands cities. The Labour Party nationally has had a gay rights platform since its conference of 1985 and deserves credit for the welter of reforms implemented during the prime ministership of Tony Blair in the noughties. Nevertheless, pockets of homophobia, some of it extreme, still persist in the wider Labour movement. Now, LGBT Labour are working tirelessly within the wider Labour Party to suspend the whip from Roger Godscliffe, a traditionalist Labour MP representing Hall Green constituency, after he appeared to back militant religious parents over the teaching of equalities in schools. Mr. Godscliffe used inflammatory language, suggesting that the equalities lessons were not age appropriate. And we thank the top Birmingham-based LGBT magazine, Midlands Zone, for that update. Other sanctions that might be used against Mr. Godscliffe include working with activists in his constituency party to ensure he is deselected for the next general election, which is due in 2022, or using a recall petition, similar to the one used to trigger a by-election in the case of the Peterborough Labour MP, Fiona Onasanya.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Hans Peregrin.
Shoutout News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Oh, it doesn't take much, does it?
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh my God, that makes me feel young.
That was a long way away. You can remember that far back.
I used to love that song.
I still love it.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Do you think Melanie C will allow the whole of the Shout Out crew on stage today?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I think we should go for it. We could be your dance troupe.
No, we got a radio show to run. I can't have you been arrested for running on stage.
Yeah, Darren and rugby tackle us. We'll be down.
Well, I don't know, actually. I think Darren would probably just join in and start dancing with you.
I just remember that year that I had to dance for Corona to stop dragging people from the audience onto the stage.
Yes.
Yeah, that was never again. She's actually, Mel C's got Sync the Pink as her backing dancers for this year, so yeah. I don't think they'll let you.
No, they'll be
high kicking you off the stage. Yeah.
Looking forward to interviewing her, though.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Corona was a very interesting interview. I seem to remember there was a slight language barrier when we were doing that, and it was trying to get her to say shout out. I think took about 8 takes before we finally got that one. But we got there. So.
Who was the one we couldn't interview because she was? Oh, are we not allowed to say?
Not saying that.
Okay,
don't go there.
It was embarrassing. That's all you need to know.
Yes. So, but now I just realised something. We haven't done a Eurovision show for a while. Oh. We missed it this year.
Yeah,
you used to come in and be our like Eurovision guru.
I know. I was. Look, this is Freddie's fault. Freddie booked tickets to go and see a show in London. Thankfully, it was a matinee, so we managed to see Eurovision at a friend's house. But yeah, we were away for the actual thing. Yeah,
I was going to say you never miss Eurovision. No, you're a big fan, aren't you?
But I think Pride has become such a big beast that I was already bogged down and busy working on Pride back in May and stuff, so I kind of consumed everything this year.
I genuinely wasn't lying earlier when I said, you know, when we first started, I remember talking to you going, wow, look how many people there are, and you look at it, look back, and I know. You're like, hey, it's tiny.
It's amazing to think of, you know, yeah, we're being very reflective this year and looking back at where we've come from, and just thinking back to that first year in Castle Park in 2010, and just trying to make it happen was hard enough. You know, as you say, yes. Like a couple of thousand people came, great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, last year, 36,000 people coming into the festival.
Oh, there would have been more, wouldn't there? Yeah. But yeah. You were full.
Yeah. What do you think is what makes it so successful? Why do so many people want to come?
Do you know, I think there's loads of different reasons for it. You know, we are doing something different. You know, we keep community at the heart of what we do. You know, Pride Day is still, you can come and give a donation if you can't afford a high ticket price to come to it. But we're still putting on amazing acts. And, you know, you look at some other Pride events that are charging 70 quid a ticket. We're putting on, you know, the international headliner level artists that they have, but we're keeping it open so that you can still come, you can enjoy different parts of it as well. You know, we're not just about the main stage. You know, the community area is a big thing for us. Loads of different organisations in there offering their support and their services to the community.
That's always been a big part of it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That community bit.
That's really important. And, you know, it kind of grounds us within our community and all the organisations doing amazing work throughout the year. You know, Pride is their chance to shine as well. So, yeah, I think maybe people just quite like what we're doing, I think.
And you're always maintained that you're environmentally balanced.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we've definitely something that we've been looking at year on year, you know, but we're kind of basically almost banning all of plastic, single-use plastic bottles this year at the festival.
Oh, wow.
I've just seen that Brighton have announced a plastic reusable cup scheme on the bars. We've had that for like 5 years.
I was going to say, I remember bringing that in. There's things
that we've been doing.
We just moved house and found about 18 of them.
They're great, though, aren't they? Yeah, great for a picnic. So, just little things that we try and do our best to make sure, like, all our food traders, for example, are local. They source things locally. Everything that we bring in, so the infrastructure, stages, fencing, you know, we get that locally as well, so we don't pay for lots of transport, but we're also not having lots of carbon emissions for those lorries going up and down the motorways.
So. And people don't need to use their cars either, do they? Because there's free bus travel.
Yeah, that's right. So if you've got a wristband, you can get free bus travel up to the Downs. In fact, anywhere in Bristol zone on Pride Day. So if you're coming into the centre, out, back home, it's all day. So that's really good. So again, that's another way to kind of encourage people to use public transport. And we're also putting on a new shuttle service this year from the end of the parade. And that'll be running up and down to the Downs as well. So
do you think there's some enthusiasts who might not stop at the centre and will keep going up Park Street and White Ladies Road?
Well,
I've been speaking to quite a few people and they reckon that they're going to be so pumped they're just going to keep going up Park Street and White Ladies Road.
Well, you know, we do need to encourage those that can to walk up there because the buses are going to be very busy, and it'd be great to prioritise those that might have mobility needs or need to use the buses a bit more. So we are saying that those that can walk, it's going to be a really really lovely day, and it'd be great to kind of carry on that atmosphere. But obviously we've got our designated Pride route for the parade, and obviously if you do want to carry on afterwards, you will have to use the pavements. But you know, we are encouraging, you know, carry on walking, and it'll be a fantastic atmosphere, I think, going with everyone else up the hill.
Now, talking of the march, you're going the other way around this time, so you don't get yourself coming back the other way like you did last time.
Yeah, well, you know, the march has gotten so big now that we actually fill the whole of Cabot Circus and Broadmead and meet ourselves. So we've done a little bit of engineering work and just a little bit of a rejig on the parade route, so it is actually fundamentally the same route as last year. So we're starting Castle Park and we end at the amphitheatre, but we'll be gathering at the opposite end of Castle Park this year by the bandstand area. Hopefully they've taken all the fencing down by Pride, and then we're closing the road, which is known as the Horse Fair, and going the wrong way around it to make sure we don't meet each other. So it should be a bit smoother.
When you meet your own tail and you have to wait for it to go past to carry on, don't you?
So, yeah, but, and hopefully and no broken down buses this year either.
Again, it's another one. I remember the first year and we were like, how many people? And it was like, this is amazing. And now it just like tens of thousands, isn't it, take part in it?
12,000 people last year. And judging by the number of organisations that are booked in this year, it's going to be even more. It's going to be amazing.
Have you actually got a capacity, or can you just overfill the downs?
For the capacity on the downs is now double what we've had previously, and so we can have over 20,000 people at any one time now. So that's an extra 10,000 people we can get in. And obviously the way that we work is that you can just come in and go. We don't restrict kind of re-entry. So we kind of tend to find that we have a really big flow throughout the day, and if there is a queue though,
if you leave, you do have to queue when you come back, don't you?
If we are at capacity, then obviously for safety we can't let more people in. We'll be working really hard to make sure there's all different lanes and gates this year, and it's all kind of, now that we have the space to expand and do all that, it's going to be a lot different this year.
We always think of the day, but as I said earlier, of course, you were telling us off air, it actually all starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
So what have we got in the run-up to it? Obviously, we spoke to Steve earlier about the film festival.
So I'm really excited about the film festival. It's great to hear Steve talking about that, and definitely check those out. I will talk about some other things. But yeah, it does all start tomorrow. And obviously, this year, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Stonewall.
Mm.
So the Stonewall uprisings, or riots, as some people like to say. That is, we're commemorating that this weekend. So we're doing a flag raising at 5 p.m. tomorrow on College Green. So we're encouraging as many people as can come to that and join us for that. And that'll just be kind of putting the flag up to remember Stonewall, but obviously also mark the start of the 2 weeks of Bristol Pride. And then on Saturday, we're doing a remembrance event in the Lord Mayor's Chapel at 1 p.m. And for those that don't know, that's just across the road on Park Street from College Green. We've got Cheryl Morgan speaking at that. We've got the Deputy Lord Mayor, Cleo Lake, going to be there as well. And we've got some audio footage of people who were at Stonewall that we're going to be playing as well, so we can really kind of get a sense of what it was like,
right.
Bit of remembrance of what happened then.
It was a very pivotal event in LGBT plus life, wasn't it? It literally just changed the face of equality.
Definitely, it's seen as the birth of the global movement for LGBT liberation and equality. So of course we would not have Pride without Stonewall. So we've got to remember that, and that's a running theme you'll see throughout the events that we've got this year.
I was gonna say, because a lot of people think that Pride's fun and there to have a laugh and the like, and while in one respect it kind of is, it's still there very much as a we are here and we are proud type thing, isn't it?
Definitely. And that's for us, though we've moved the festival to the Downs, that was the importance of keeping the parade in the city centre. We still need that visibility.
Mm.
We still need to declare that we're here, reclaim the streets almost, and say the prejudice is not welcome here.
No.
And I think Pride is what you want it to be. If you want it to be a celebration, then that's great. For others, it is still that protest. It is still really important. And actually, we've seen some statistics come out today, hate crime rising 81% for the trans community.
And the number of homophobic attacks we've seen come over the news recently.
Violent attacks as well. So, we are in a political climate which is hostile towards LGBT people. So, although we've had some great gains over the last 50 years, there is still a lot of work to be done.
Mm. So anyway, so some of the classics, are they coming back? Comedy night, I know, is already sold out.
Yeah,
isn't
the
it?
Comedy Which night is already sold out. So I'm not going to talk about it.
Huge, great favourite, that one.
No,
We won't talk about it. But if you ever get a chance, when you see it come out, go book it, because it's hilarious.
Next year, get there and book early. But yeah, that's going to be fantastic. And again, running theme this year, it's our 10th anniversary. We're inviting some of our favourites back. So we've got Jade Adams, Zoe Lyons, Susie Ruffle, and Stephen Bailey performing, and they've all performed with us before. before they got big, and it's great to invite them back now.
This is brilliant.
Celebrate that. Our dog show.
I was going to say, and again, that's got huge. I remember when our little girl passed away. I came to the first one with her, which I think was on a Make Sunday Special.
We were just kind of a little bit of a stall within Make Sunday Special, and now we're
it's huge, isn't it?
We're a big event, and that's in Castle Park, and that's on Saturday, the 6th of July. So that's coming up. A week on Saturday.
It's really sweet. There's all kinds of awards, isn't there? Like Waggiest Tail.
Yeah.
And Best Small Dog and Proudest Pet.
Prettiest Eyes. Yeah, and it's really great. And, you know, we tried to do it last year because we had the heat wave last year and it wasn't great for dogs to be out. So we had to kind of shuffle things around and we kind of moved it earlier and made it a bit shorter. But we're hoping to do the musical sit this year.
Oh, amazing.
So let's, I'm sure that won't be chaos at all.
That's hard enough with humans, isn't it? Let alone dogs.
Yeah. So that's going to be really exciting and such a fun event, and just another one of those things that we love to do that just is just we're just here, we're just part of the community. Yeah. We've got dogs, you know, and it just brings people together, and it's been really great actually. We've kind of bumped into people in Cardin Castle Park afterwards who were walking their dogs and just like, oh yeah, we met at the last dog show and now we do walks together, and so I think that's really great for connecting people as well.
Yeah. And it's lovely to see there's a few specific trans things happening, isn't there? The Trans Pride Social and a Trans Men's Meetup and a few other things.
Well, we've got to give credit to Trans Pride Southwest really for that. You know, it's been great to see them grow over the last couple of years. And of course, you know, we recognise the importance that trans women and people of colour had in Stonewall, but also obviously the hostile environment for the trans community at the moment. So we really wanted to make sure that there was space for the trans community within Pride. So there's a trans social, and that's also on Saturday the 6th, the Phoenix, in the afternoon. I think it starts about 2 o'clock. And then the trans men meet up in the evening at the Bear Bar from 7 p.m. And then also one of the artists who's performing at Pride on the main stage, Share Freedom, will be doing a workshop on Sunday the 14th of July, again in partnership with Trans Pride, looking at kind of the more spiritual side of being trans.
Oh,
yeah, cool. So that's going to be really exciting.
So, and theatre stuff as well? There's always theatre stuff, isn't there?
So we actually have more theatre than ever this year. And it's just because there was like so much demand to have The Incredible Murder He Didn't Write back. And it, for those who don't know, that's kind of a cross-dress version of Murder She Didn't Write, where the amazing Degrees of Error cast do a improvised theatre piece, murder mystery, based on suggestions from the audience. So that's really good fun. You never know what's going to happen. It's just hilarious.
It sounds like one of those that's different every time you see it.
Yeah, well, it is, yeah. So you, I remember last year we did two showings of it because it was so popular, it just sold out. And I stayed and watched both, and it was a completely different show each time. So it's hilarious.
What about the after party?
After party, so that's going to be at the O2 again. That's really incredible. So we've got Sync the Pink DJs. So obviously, we're talking about Sync the Pink performing with Mel C, but they're going to be coming DJing the after party along with Guilty Pleasures in the main room. We've got Don't Tell Your Mother, DTYM, are curating a room for us in there. And they've got Pop DJ Pop Rocket and Nina Collada with them. And then upstairs in the O2, we've got Kiki Bristol back again.
Yes, they mentioned that last week when they
I was listening in, and it was it's great to have them there. And you know, it's their second year with us, and we're really excited because that room was amazing last year. And
it's a very vibrant group,
very vibrant.
It?
You know, I was hearing Lara talking about the twerking and the whining, and that was all going on, and it was just an amazing atmosphere. It was really great and really welcoming space. And one of the artists we've got performing on the main stage, Leaf. Openly gay rapper from America, he's going to be coming and doing a PA set with them as well. So I know BT Bass are also DJing there, so that's going to be really special. Amazing. So yeah, definitely worth checking out.
Can we just go through the wristband, the bands, the prices and what you get for you?
Cool. All right, so our wristbands fundamentally give you free bus travel on the day. You get 50p off all the bar prices for your drinks as well, so if you're catching the bus and having a few drinks, you'll make your money back, because a day wristband is just £7. We then do a fast track wristband, which is £12, and a day and night, which is £18. And that includes four different after parties for the day and night. So you can come to the O2, you can go to Hush at Basement 45, the Queen Shilling, and Punker are doing kind of a more indie alternative night over in the Old Market Assembly. So
that's incredible value.
About £18 for that ticket. That is the hot ticket. And we only have like 200 of those left. So, if you want one of those, you need to be quick.
And I know you normally have a pop-up store, don't you, where you can go, because it's you need to get your band so that you can get your travel down on that. Yeah. Is that happening again this year?
It is, yes. That opens on Monday.
Right.
We're in the same place again. So we're in the arches or the vestibule space of City Hall on College Green. So just by the Park Street entrance of City Hall, you'll see our rainbows flying in there. And you can come and pick up a ticket from us directly or exchange your e-ticket for a wristband. And I cannot stress enough, please, if you have a wristband, come and exchange it in advance. You can do that with us from Monday, or you can do that at the Bristol Ticket Shop. And it just means that you just avoid having to queue to exchange your wristband on the day, and it makes everyone's life a lot easier.
Now, very quickly, before we run out of time, we've got to talk about the actual main day itself. Because, of course, it's the 10th anniversary, and it's like doing the 10 prides all in one on that day, isn't
it? I know. Yeah, we've kind of pulled in some of our favourites for the main stage.
A lovely host is back, isn't he, Mr. Big Blue Stew?
Oh, come on,
it wouldn't be the same.
It wouldn't be the same without him. He's been there from the start. You know, same like with Sing Out. You know, you know, they've been there really from the start. So it's part of what we do. So it's great to have them there. But yeah, we've got some of our previous headlines acts back, and I'm really excited. So we've got Sonic, and if you cast your mind back to 2010, our first year in Castle Park, she was our very first headliner. So it's going to be incredible to kind of get her back and just show her, you know, look how far we've come.
And look at Dr. Meeker, how small they were, their Bristol band.
Yeah.
And look how big they are
now. They're down in Glastonbury this weekend, you know, performing. So it's great to have them there. We've got A1 back.
Yeah.
Are all the boys coming this time? Because one was ill last time.
We've got three of them. Christian, unfortunately, I think he's holed up in writing in the studio. So he won't be joining us. But
I have to say, one of my personal favourites, to Jadelle,
who
funnily enough, when you interview her in person, still sounds exactly like Adele.
Yeah,
she even talks like it, as well as sings like it. It's absolutely hilarious.
Can I just say that if you can't get to Pride, because you can't get out of the house or for whatever reason, you can tune in, because Shout Out will be broadcasting from midday to 9 p.m. on BCFM and a few other stations. But we're also between 2 and 6 being joined by BBC Radio Bristol, BBC Radio Somerset and Ujima. So it doesn't matter where you dial across the Bristol wavelengths, we will be there live from Pride.
Which is amazing. Yeah, it's great to, as you say, kind of get Pride out there. We're going to reach different communities. Yeah. You know,
it's the first time that Radio Bristol and Radio Somerset have picked us up.
Yeah. I mean, it is very, very important for us to point out, because as fun as it is for us, and it's really great to be there and be part of the atmosphere, and it's really nice that Pride lets come along. The whole reason we started doing it in the first place was so that Shout Out could bridge that gap for the people who can't, for reasons like, say, homophobia or issues with their family, etc., get down and actually enjoy the day, to still go and stick an earphone in their ear and still be part of it. And it's great that after all these years we're still able to do it, which is a big thank you to you, because it's you make the space for us to go do it. So
it's a really important thing, and I think it is great to kind of help get Pride out there to everyone. So yeah, fantastic.
Cool. Now listen, if you are listening and you want to check out tickets, bristolpride.co.uk, place.
So yeah, just go onto our website. And you were mentioning our program. I mean, it's a book this year. It's like our biggest ever program. It's huge.
Again, I found my first one the other week, moving, and I was like, it's half the size.
Yeah. So you can download a copy of that. So you just download it from our website, or you can view it online, as you say, on Issue. Just Google Bristol Pride 2019 Festival Guide. But yeah, all the information about the parade route, all the acts performing. You know, we didn't mention Sophie Ellis Bex, which you played earlier.
No, I know.
But Mel C. They're all the different acts. We've got different stages as well. So if you like Drag Race,
Peppermint than ever before.
Peppermint is performing on the cabaret stage.
Wow.
Yeah, we have five stages this year. We've got a new circus tent. We've got a new women's stage as well. Jordan Gray is performing on that. Silent Disco. Yeah, loads going on. So definitely check out the website to see everything that's going across the weeks, next few weeks, and obviously all the stuff for Pride Day as well.
And we'll be covering it in more detail in the run up to it. Will you promise you'll come see us on the day and say hi?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be backstage. Yeah,
always,
at some point.
Always come
yeah,
say hi at some point, don't you?
Yeah.
So, cool. Listen, mate, it's been lovely to catch up with you, and we'll try and make sure we put Eurovision in the calendar for next year. See if we can do a special show again, because that used to be really good fun. So. Yeah. But for now, thank you very much, and we'll catch you on the day.
Thank you.
Stay with us. You'll listen to Shout Out. Back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
You better believe. I can't wait.
You better believe it, sister.
Yeah. You called me sister.
So. Yeah, absolutely. We are marking 50 years of Stonewall.
We are.
This weekend. Yes. And it was, you know, an important thing where the sisters came together. Yeah. Men and women.
Absolutely.
Trans people. Yeah. I think guys.
We shouldn't forget, really, that the people behind it are not only people of colour, but we're trans as well.
Absolutely. So I've written a little something which we will put on the website.
I was going to say, we'll just explain. Our next session of the show is our traditional news extra.
It is.
And this time,
special.
Because it's so close to Stonewall, we thought we'd talk about it in a bit more detail. Because, of course, it is a point now where there are some, especially some of the younger generations, aren't quite aware of exactly what it was and the impact it had. Mm, so,
absolutely.
But do we want to start? Do you want to take us back in history and kind of like give us an idea what it was like before Stonewall? What
was it like before Stonewall? Yeah. Well, you know, there is a documentary that was made which is called Before Stonewall. Now, the Stonewall Uprising, which was five nights of rioting or insurrection, well, not really an insurrection, it was riots outside a pub on Christopher Street in Greenwich Village in New York. As Steph said, over five nights, a group of mostly gay men, some of them hustlers, some of them runaways, a great number of them African-American who are Hispanic, some of them leather guys, together with lesbian and transgender people who also frequented the bar. They resisted arrest during a routine police raid, and five nights of rioting ensued, which many people would say would change everything. Mm. As I say, I'll write the little article I've written will pop up on the website, which gives a little bit of an overview and a bit of history to what actually happened during those hot summer nights.
Right. This was in America, wasn't it?
It was in America, and revolution was in the air. Remember, it was the late 60s. I wasn't around, personally. Some of us might have been around.
I was.
In the late 60s, do you remember?
I've been around quite a while.
You see, and there was a lot of radicalism in the air. Do you know what I mean? You know, the previous year. Yeah.
What was the state of the law at this point here and in the US? It was...
Well, in the United Kingdom... obviously, male homosexuality had been partially decriminalised in 1967.
Right.
And there had been...
But it got worse after that happened here, didn't it?
Well, there was a lot more entrapment by the police. Yeah, there was the entrapment which had sort of like fallen into disuse by the early 60s. That came back because there were a lot of people that wanted to police the boundaries. So, that's kind of like another issue. In America, most states had sodomy statutes on the books, which... prohibited effectively gay and lesbian sex and lots of other things besides. So that was what was happening Britain and the States.
Also, you've got the fact that in America at the time, if you were dressed as a woman, you could be arrested and charged for impersonation.
Yeah. Oh, you mean you were a so-called man?
If you were a man dressed as a woman. Yeah, okay. And that's what started off as part of the Stonewall riots, because the transgender women were actually forced to go into a bathroom to go and show a female police officer what gender they were. And because the women refused, they were then all marched out of the bar to try and put them into the back of a police van.
Yeah. And it was when they tried to force people into the back of the paddy wagons that people started flicking stones. I believe someone set a trash can on fire, and it all started to escalate from there. So there is a book called
simply called Stonewall by a historian called Martin Duberman, which I do recommend. I think you could probably get it from Gaze the Word in London. I don't think it's in print anymore. But that is an entire academic tome which interviews all the people that participate, or many of the people that participated, and analyses, you know, what happened on those hot summer nights. You know, it's very
important. Well, and as Darren was saying, they've got some audio they're playing, aren't they?
Yeah, there's interviews do exist with people, you know. I mean, people that were in their late teens or early 20s at the time are now sort of like late 60s. So there's quite a few people still about that were veterans of Stonewall.
What's interesting, Terry, as well, is that you mention in your piece that most gay bars in New York were run by the mafia.
They were, yeah. They were all illegal, effectively.
Mm. Oh, right.
So, and the mafia, yeah. I mean, it is said that at the Stonewall, you know, conditions were so primitive that they didn't have anything to wash the glasses with except a dirty bowl of water, and they just passed the glasses from, you know, when they were cleaning them. You know, it was an illegal bar. Police raids were frequent. There was a protection racket with the New York Police Department. Somebody apparently didn't pay the stipend that week to the NYPD, so they raided it. It's interestingly, a guy called Seymour Pine, who died quite recently in the last 5 years at the age of 93, he was the police inspector who was in charge on that night, and many years later he became an ally of the LGBT community and said in a strange kind of way he was very proud that he'd done something which actually galvanised the LGBT community in New York to fight back. And he used to go on pride parades and speak at events.
It's a very backward and offhanded and roundabout way of...
It's a weird kind of thing. But yeah, he became an ally, actually.
But correct me if I'm wrong, it had the result of making the LGBT community learn how to come together.
Yeah.
Because then we saw things like, you know, gays and lesbians support the minors and things like that happen over here. And we just got good at campaigning for rights.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, there were LGBT groups before Stonewall, but they were tended to be very moderate. They tended to be very apologetic. Some of them even had psychiatrists address them to talk about their illness. You know what I mean? That they, you know, that they were ill, lesbian and gay people. And it was in the wake of Stonewall that many young activists came through. They were veterans of the anti-Vietnam movement, the hippie scene, the counterculture and the underground press. And they founded, within a couple of weeks, a group called the Gay Liberation Front. And Gay Liberation Front chapter spread across the Western world and revolutionised things. Yeah. And groups split off and there were switchboards and newspapers set up.
It amazes me that...
It was a pivotal moment, as you said earlier.
I hope it starts to be the kind of thing that's taught in schools and the like now about things like this, and you know, like Harvey Milk and that kind of story and the like, because it was something I never knew at all growing up. And,
no,
and,
neither did I.
And it's something that is part of our history we should never lose.
Right, and that's why LGBT History Month in February is important
as well. Yes, and we cover that a lot, which is good. So.
We do.
Anyway, that's it for another show, but as we said, we'll be broadcasting live this year from Bristol Pride.
Excellent.
That's not the only time to listen there. If you're a podcast fan, catch up online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, we're talking Tantra, apparently.
No, we are.
I think Matthew and Lara are here next week, aren't they?
Yes, they break.
Yep. So, but for myself and the rest of the team and all the dinosaurs, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.